You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 19 May, we had Japanese first quarter GDP earlier this morning, quarter on quarter, 0.5% up. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Lisa Fleuren, MD, Merchant West Investments. We buy car results, but before that, Pick and Pay, after close yesterday, announced they're going to be selling almost 5 billion of Boxer shares. Ben Pilmoherber from Colgro M3, talk to him around results. And then Astral Foods, strong numbers from them as demand surged and costs improved. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Mintashe ordered to transfer mining rights to Afrimat. A 9-month administrative delay could have serious commercial and employment consequences for the company. And then Bloomberg, Elon Musk loses case against Sam Altman over OpenAI's future. Morning markets, US was red, the S&P a little under 0.1% down, the Nasdaq almost 0.5% lower, the 10-year 4.601 is the worry. The East is mostly green. Sydney up 0.25%. Tokyo, little over 0.5% down. Hong Kong is 0.33% up. And Tencent, almost 3% stronger. Commodities, mostly green. Gold futures, 4,552. Brent is the red at $109.98. Platinum, 1,973. Palladium, 1,412. Platinum is 1,664. Bitcoin, 76,700. And top 40 opening call, red open, 120 points, 0.1% down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Elisa Fruin, MD, Merchant West Investments. Elisa, appreciate the early morning time. Just after market close yesterday, Pick and Pay announcing a book build of Boxer shares. They've got, 65% of the business. They're going to sell down a further 11.5%. That'll get them $4.7 billion. I note they also got a 365-day lockup post this. Is this a clever move from them? Is it a bit of desperation? They certainly could. Their balance sheet isn't so bad, but I suppose they need some cash. This is a clever way to get it.
Morning, Simon. I am afraid that I think this looks a little more like necessity than strategy from the Pick and Pay group. The execution does look sensible. Boxer is up sharply since it listed in November 2024. Yeah. And this accelerated book build at these levels is actually quite reasonable to raise capital. So the tactics look sound, but I am afraid that the reason that the company actually needs to do this is what concerns me. So when we look at this pattern that Pick and Pay is showing, in 2024, Pick and Pay had asked shareholders for about 4 billion rand through their initial rights issue. Right. Then later that same year, they listed Boxer on the JSE and raised another 8.5 billion. And now we're 18 months later and they're back selling another 4.7 billion rand, like you said. So what we're seeing is you've got these three capital raises in 18 months, all part of that same turnaround story. And to me, that suggests that hole in that parent company being Pick and Pay is bigger and it's harder to fill than what people initially thought. And when you really look at the share price, and this is quite an interesting observation, Pick and Pay's stake in Boxer is worth around 26 billion rand. Mm-hmm. But Pick and Pay itself is only worth about 16.5. So what we're seeing here is that the parent company is worth less than its shareholding in Boxer. So if we think about what this is telling us, is the market is effectively saying that that core Pick and Pay group business has a negative value. That's what it's pricing in.
Yeah.
And, I think this gives investors a view of the turnaround and it puts the placement in real context.
Yeah, and to your numbers, they've raised 17 odd billion. Their current market cap is 16 odd billion. necessity. Well priced, but necessity. I get your point on that 100%. Let's touch on We Buy Cars. They saw price deflation in used vehicles. They're talking around cheap Chinese cars putting pressure on them. Your thoughts on the numbers? This is a stock that also relatively new to the market, ran hard, come back a whole lot off those highs. Your thoughts on the numbers, the opportunity here?
Yeah, like you said, the share price reacted really well yesterday. They were up about 7%. But year to date, what we're seeing is quite a disappointing run. They are down 22%.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a fairly simple question. The We Buy Cars was priced for flawless growth at its initial highs. So how I would describe these results is resilient rather than spectacular. And maybe it's too critical, but you know, every operational metric that we are seeing is moving in the right direction. But that margin pressure from the influx of the Asian brands is real, and it's being reflected in their numbers. So when we look at what's actually happening in the South African car market right now, it's important because We Buy Cars is actually a result of the symptom of a bigger shift that's happening in the car market. Last year, new vehicle sales were up about 16% in South Africa. And what was driving that growth? It was sales by Chinese and Asian brands, a Chery, a Haval, a Armada. We've all seen these cars on the roads. And, you know, a few years ago, if you wanted to buy a brand new family SUV, you would probably be looking at around 300,000 or 400,000 rand. But today, a Chery is selling you a brand new SUV at around 250,000 to 280,000 rand. So we're seeing this collapse in the price gap between a brand new car and a three-year-old used car. So now suddenly someone who's going to go buy a secondhand Polo for 200,000 rand is looking across the showroom and seeing that new Chery for not much more. And they're choosing that car. So there is a bit of pricing pressure that is happening in this environment.
I get the point. Absolutely. And to be clear, that Chinese car comes with bells and whistles. I mean, you're not trading down a heck of a lot. We'll leave it there. Salisha Fullan, MD, Merchant West Investments. Appreciate the early morning. And our poll today goes back to the pick and pay story. A clever move, or as Salisha says, necessity perhaps. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Ben Pilmahuber, CEO of Cogro M3. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Cogro M3. We had results ending February, saw HEPS off 8.5%, dividend unchanged. Ben, Pierre, appreciate the time. You talk in the results around targeting sales in non-core assets. I want to get to your core assets in a moment. But before we do, how much have you got left in non-core to sell? Because a big chunk of it in this period was from that non-core portfolio.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. I think there's two components to the non-core assets.
Mm-hmm.
So the one side is a project that we've got no intention to develop over the next 5 years. It's a project that we've owned for a long time, aimed, for example, at the mid to high segment of the market that we're not active anymore. So we would like to just trade out of, sell them. Mm-hmm. But I think that what you saw this year, we had a big focus on trading out projects that's coming to the natural end of life, like Scott's Dean. Scott's Dean is a project that we've had for years, and we've got a small exposure in that project. But the focus this year was to finish up the project so we can say we're done with Scott's Dean, move on, and unlock some of our capital that can go into the new projects like Bunkenveld. And that's not only capital, financial capital, it's all our resources internally.
Yeah, a human capital at the same time. You mentioned the Bunkenveld district city. You've commenced infrastructure build there. This is sort of top infrastructure, which is really great. But of course, you're now incurring costs. When do you start to build buildings? Because that's when the revenue starts to flow.
Yes. So the first step was to get the bulk and link infrastructure. That's the big infrastructure required to make this land developable.
Mm-hmm.
So we're currently building big roads and bridges across the Yuxkay and under there. Undercarriage under the N3 highway. So we're currently doing that bulk and link, and that should be completed by February next year, February 2027. That will allow us to start internal infrastructure on about 5,900 opportunities. We don't need to do all 5,900 opportunities at the same time, but by February next year, we can start the internal infrastructure that will lead into the construction about 6 to 12 months after that.
Well, what do you expect to spend this year then on that the bulk link and other top infrastructure, as I said, ahead of the revenue opportunities?
Okay, so the currently existing agreement with the contractor on site is about a 280 million rand commitment between us and Eris So it's quite a substantial amount of money. And then once we've got the internal or that infrastructure, and then we start with the internal infrastructure, then it's Calgary will do its own and areas will do theirs required for the industrial commercial.
The Bankenfort District City, obviously the biggie. This is 20,000 odd units. What else? What are your other core assets that you're going to be focusing on going forward?
Fleurhof will stay a core asset. Mm-hmm. Fleurhof was a project about 16,000 units it can yield. We've completed only about 10,000 of that. And we own land adjacent to that. So that's a project that will keep on growing. So we'll see activity in Fleurhof for another 10 years at least.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Then we've got South Hills that we're doing in partnership with the City of Johannesburg, where there's 5,800 units still available to be constructed. So if we look at core assets, the integrated projects of scale, that's what we're looking at spending our time over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, Fleurhof, South Hills, and then, of course, the Bankfort being the third.
Yes.
How are you finding, and I'm going to break this question into two parts, in the period we're looking at to end of Feb, how was bank lending, and have you seen any sort of change subsequent to that? Because, of course, in the 10 weeks since your period end, there's been all sorts of challenges in terms of fuel prices and potential inflation.
So I mean, we definitely saw a recovery in the market. So the market that recovered first was the rental side. The man in the street, the interest rates came down so slowly that it was never substantial enough to trigger anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So although the market recovered, we saw our focus of sales looking at people buying bulk. So someone will come in and say, we'll take all 464 units constructed for us and we'll take it to the rental market. So that recovered a lot faster than the man on the street. Obviously, February and the war in the Middle East reset a whole lot of things. And I think this recovery in the market is on hold as we sit here.
Yeah, I agree with that. Take your point in there. Elections in November, and I know we've chatted before around elections, a period of perhaps uncertainty is the right word, and probably you're looking at it the same way as we head up to that election on the 4th of November.
Yes, Simon, we knew that a year ago, that we're heading into an election cycle. So during these cycles, we try and tend to spend money on infrastructure. We were very fortunate that we could have someone to put infrastructure into spend money on infrastructure. Leading up to the election, there's always uncertainty, and whether we like it or not, that is uncertainty lasts a little bit past the elections with the change of guard. So it's not the first time we're going through the cycle. We expected that cycle, and we're ready for that. But the uncertainty is there, and I think, that's something we need to deal with.
Yeah, and I take your point. Maybe being prepared is all you can do, is know that it's coming and have some points in place. Memorial Parks, revenue up almost 26%, $86 million, continues to grow. You've got the new one in Rustenburg. You've got, over 100,000 now potential graves. This goes along nicely.
Yes, Simon, it's a good business to be involved in. And I think especially where we find ourselves growing into the Bankenfeld project, the risk profile is completely different. We're not dependent on grant funding infrastructure. It's a different market segment. Mm-hmm. And this allows us to grow into a project of scale like BDC. We knew we were going to dip deep in cash. We're going to bleed some capital into it before we turn it around. And Memorial Parks is, at this stage, is different risk profile and good business to have.
Yeah, different risk, nice margins, and as I say, two certainties, death and taxes. We'll leave it there. That's Ben Pierre-Moherber, CEO, Calgary M3. Appreciate the time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Gary Arnold, CEO, Astral Foods. Results for 6 months ending March. Revenue was up 11%, but HEPS 467%. Dividend up 427%. Gary, appreciate the time. You mentioned a couple of things working in your favor. The first is strong demand for poultry. And this is usually the case, but have you seen an uptick over the last period?
Yes, Simon. We one shouldn't say usually the case. I mean, chicken is the preferred protein and it is the most affordable protein in South Africa. But there have been some tailwinds to that demand, you know, with the ever-increasing pork and beef prices. As you know, those industries have gone through their own troubles and with foot and mouth disease and African swine fever impacting them quite significantly. That led to constraints in supply in that industry and increasing prices. So we have seen the demand for poultry remain quite strong. And, you know, some commentators in the market from the retail sector pointing to switching out of the more expensive beef or pork products or proteins into chicken. So more than satisfied with demand, and we've been able to meet that demand through the period, Simon.
And that's part of it. I mean, I take the point on demand, and certainly imports have also increased quite significantly, particularly those coming out of Brazil.
Yes, they have. And at the same time, we saw the South African poultry industry, we saw a peak in its production with just over 23 million birds a week towards the end of October, early November. So the South African poultry industry certainly producing bird numbers at a record high. Mm-hmm. And then we have seen the imports peaking. I think some of that earlier on in this period that we're looking at, Simon, had to do with a bit of catch-up after Brazil, you know, exports were closed down to South Africa following their bird flu outbreak.
That's right.
Certainly some catch-up through September, October, I would even say early November. But then we have seen higher import levels coming through to South Africa December through to February.
You make the point around record capacity there, and I mean it is also part of it has been it has been execution from you and your team at Astral has certainly worked in your favour as well.
I mean, certainly, I think you know the longer term strategic planning has played out well for us. You know, early last year when we did bring additional birds to market on the back of that stronger demand, we had the capacity to do so.
Yeah,
and now that we've been consistently producing just over 6 million birds a week, you know, that does lead to other benefits within the business. It helps, it assists in our overhead cost recoveries. Mm-hmm. Improvements in operational efficiencies have certainly gone their way to supporting a good result for the 6 months.
You're also softening in feed costs. We've seen yellow maize price down at, I think you said, average at just under 3,500 a ton. It was just over 5,000 a year ago. What's your sort of sweet spot for that? I remember Chris Kutter would often tell me, and it completely left my head.
Yes, Simon, look, maize prices of 5,000 rand a ton were extremely expensive. Astral didn't necessarily compete at those levels when we procured maize last year. In fact, we didn't. Mm-hmm. So our average year-on-year maize price decrease is not as high as that but we've seen trading on SAFEX. What I can say, though, you know, execution or procuring maize in this falling market has been good. I mean, we have we've stayed, you know, with the market consistently buying in a falling market. So our feed prices have benefited from that, and we're well covered for the short term. You know, there's certainly no concerns from us, given that there's a record crop coming from the 26 harvest season. So we see feed prices more or less stabilizing here. Mm-hmm. Over the short term, of course, with just a flag on the longer term, perhaps a year out, maybe, you know, that local weather conditions could mean something else for the maize crop.
Yeah, I actually was chatting yesterday with someone saying a potential of drier conditions are coming forward. We've also got, I mean, there's potential cost pressures coming, and I'm thinking here particularly around energy, particularly around fuel, but also particularly on the consumer. I mean, you know, the petrol prices and diesel prices is hurting wallets. But to your point, that might be a bit of a sort of a double whammy because, you know, consumers might be then shopping down in their protein, and then again, they shop to chicken.
Well, that's the one space that, the space that we like about chicken, Simon. You know, is when the consumer decides to buy out of another, you know, protein, they typically buy into chicken. Mm-hmm. And if they are only eating chicken, there's various categories that they can buy into. So you may see a consumer switching some of their demand out of frozen or fresh chicken into tertiary products, for example. Mm-hmm. So we certainly enjoy that space. So if the wallet is under some pressure, I think, you know, the poultry industry can stand to benefit from that. And we've got our work to do. I mean, we've got to put affordable protein or chicken on the shelf. and we're fortunate that it is the preferred protein. But certainly, you know, we are cognizant of the stress facing the consumer, particularly with transport and fuel prices that have increased. This is not a local South African problem. This has happened to probably everyone that uses any form of fuel around the world right now with the troubles in the Middle East. So we're keeping an eye on that. For the moment, we're absorbing the cost impact of this diesel price increase. If this becomes a prolonged issue, you know, one like our suppliers, we'll have to turn and look at pricing, end product pricing. But unfortunately, you know, the consumer is under some pressure. So we've got to be cognizant of that and balance price and demand. One doesn't want to increase prices beyond a certain limit. And then, you know, you can't sell chicken, build stock. So it's a balancing game and certainly not a science, but not. And we'll be close to what's happening in the market. We'll keep a careful eye on that. Simon.
Yeah, always the case. Gary Arnold, CEO of Astral Foods. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. Yesterday, we were chatting with Casey Sprague, and we were talking around food inflation and the potential for El Nino later this year. And, of course, energy input costs are hurting. She's in favor of a rate increase from Saab next week. We asked you what you thought. Over half said, no, we are struggling. A quarter said we actually need cuts. So the rest said, yes, get in early. Have your vote, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Seren, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Buy now, pay later. Myths.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.